Coming to you live from the Hall of Truth, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, relax, good citizen.
Nothing! You've got nothing!
Here's Nate.
Howdy, howdy. Welcome into the Nate Darling Show. Thank you for joining us. I forgot to mention this last time, so I'm going to get it off my chest right away. Thank you for shopping Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Also, you can shop Target through the Shop Target tab there as well. Order your stuff, pull up, and have. They're putting in these parking spaces at every Target. So I'm guessing they're going to start bringing it out to you. But at the very least, you can have them pick up all your stuff. You can walk in and get it. You don't have to roam around the store and spend a bunch of extra money.
Oh, man.
That is great.
It's
great.
And especially for you, you're going to have two kids soon, Jason. You do your Target shopping online through that tab.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
You roll up to the store.
They never make a wrong choice when they do it.
Well, you've made all the choices.
Right.
So roll it on in.
That's right.
Make that happen. Boy, it's a Friday episode. We got a lot going on here. Still waiting to find out when Darling New Media will be able to open our doors.
Did the day get pushed back again?
It seems to be fluid. As the space that we have selected, while a fantastic space, has not yet been cleared for occupancy by the city. Who knows? As of Monday when we record this.
So, FYI,
yes.
I know you said you signed a lease. I don't know what your contingencies are in that lease with them or not.
Well, there are no start dates on it.
Oh, good, good.
So that's it. Basically what they said was the first month is free and then it's a 24 month lease. So
there's a place that says it's for lease over by on 16th over by the tower. There's a pizza shop that's right there. And then there was like a tattoo parlor. Mm-hmm. The tattoo parlor is now gone.
Oh, so you think the old tattoo parlor is the place to be?
I'm just saying that there's other places that are. Oh, I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying because, man, pretty soon you gotta say fuck these people. Well, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I shouldn't say.
No. The goal is to be able to have somewhat of an open shop sometime in May.
Yeah.
And be fully running in 1st of June.
1st of June.
1st of June to have the doors open, ready, up and running, and rocking and rolling. And
sounds great.
So hopefully that can happen. That timeline still works based on what I've been told, but the date of occupancy keeps getting pushed back as they are not. As there's an elevator in the building, there's a bunch of other things that the city needs to sign off on. And so it's a big complicated mess.
Yeah.
But it's been,
if you miss one thing, they'll hold you up.
Right. So, and meanwhile, I was originally told that people would be able to start moving in March 1st. So we are now into April and that is not in fact the case.
It's not the case
at all. So keep listening. We'll be having that info for you as we go along. Meantime, we're still here in West Sacramento. We are recording on our new Rode Procaster board, which sounds de-effing lightful.
Yeah, baby.
So very excited to have that. Do not have the microphones for the podcast studios yet. Still using the other ones. So as good as it sounds now, it's going to sound even better. And it'll just be really nice to be able to be in the space and not have to set up and break down a studio every day.
That'd be pretty dope.
And last week I was able to go to a networking event and people were super excited about the idea and the ability to do that. Yeah. I'm excited.
That's like you're already it's already interest. I mean, you know, that's good. That's
I was actually invited to and as you hear this, it will be yesterday. I was invited to speak at a group that meets in Davis on Thursdays, and it's primarily a group of women talking about marketing their businesses and all sorts of other stuff. And the ladies who I met at this networking event were so excited about the possibilities that they said, hey, would you be interested in coming and speaking to our group? And I said, absolutely, when and where. So
awesome.
Yeah, it's very exciting to see, because the idea of being able to help people do something is really awesome, because that's what it's all about. That's why, I mean, yes, people are in business to make money. But when you're talking about specifically like small businesses, you are in business because you have a service or a product that is going to help people make their life better, make their life easier, give them an opportunity to do something that they couldn't have done otherwise. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing, is giving people an opportunity to do podcasts who might have thought, I have no idea how to do that.
Yeah.
Or I want to do that, but I'm afraid to do that because what goes into doing it? What goes into making one sound halfway decent? I don't know.
Yeah. Can I actually even do this? Why? Yeah.
Yeah. And so basically we're going to be giving people the tools to make their own podcast. We're going to have some classes to sort of show you how to prepare. How do you do a podcast? From the terms of planning out content.
Oh, that's like the starter package.
Exactly. That's because they're like, well, what do I do with this? What do I do with this? And I said, well, I would say start with the class.
Yeah.
Start with the class. And then if you need more guidance, there are higher level packages, like for business owners who are really busy, who have got a big business that they're running and they're making a lot of money. They're like, maybe I want to have this package where someone's going to help me a lot more with the content and the planning, and I'm going to pay more because it's a higher level of service.
Baby engineers, baby.
So that it's all coming. It's all very, very exciting. I cannot wait to get going on this. It is very exciting.
I'm excited for you.
And I'm excited for you.
You're gushing all over the place.
Oh, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Can't wait to pay those extra taxes. Oh, by the way, that LLC fee in California. Oh,
yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. When you said you wanted to be an LLC, I figured you knew, like, you knew.
Oh, no, I knew.
Yeah.
I knew. There is they call it an annual fee. It's really a tax.
Yeah. It's like, what, is it like $2,250,
It's like $800 or $850 a year.
Yeah. Construction companies, when they get them, there's a lot, like they have to actually have a bond.
Oh, sure.
For their CSLB, like for the LLC itself. Like you, if you're just a corporation, you don't have to have the bond. But an LLC has to have special bonding.
Well, I don't have to have the bonding for what I'm doing.
Yeah. I know you're lucky.
No, I'm just in a different business. That's all there is to it. Speaking of things that are incredibly exciting. Oh my God, I saw this. And the only thing that made me more excited in the past couple of weeks was Mike Trout signing a new contract. I'll let these guys tell you.
I'm Alex Winter.
And I'm Keanu Reeves. And together, we are
Wild Stallions. And we are here at the Hollywood Bowl, where we'll never play.
Never play.
No. But we're here to announce something.
Yes. We want to say thank you to you, the fans.
We do.
Because it looks like we might
actually,
hopefully,
make a movie this summer.
Bill and Ted 3.
Face the Music.
Yes.
And it is all because of you guys, and so we owe you a huge debt of gratitude, and we wanted to say thank you.
Thank you.
And be excellent.
Be excellent.
This was me right after I watched that.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
Oh my God, I am so excited.
Yeah. I've been following this story for the last 20 years.
Right? Right? And like 3 or 4 years ago, I was like, oh, now it's going to happen.
Oh, man. Oh, man. When that VHS came out, I told, it's one of the big lies I did. I told the warehouse that we lost the tape.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrote it off for us.
Oh.
And I had it.
Now you know what came up in his security clearance.
Oh man, I know. I just gave it up. And on the VHS tape, right when it came out, there was an 800 number you could call, and I didn't know this at the time, but it wasn't even a 800 number. But it was like a 911. It was a, what were those, the
900 number?
It was like a 900 number, I
think. Where it was like $2 a minute?
Yeah, like you got charged $2 for the call, and they gave you trivia questions. Yeah, this is my parents.
More stuff in the security clearance.
Yeah. So like it was like $2 a call, but they asked you trivia questions about the movie. And if you could answer them right, like you could possibly win something. So I probably did about 8 calls or so. And then on like the 8th call, I won a t-shirt. And I had a t-shirt that said Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure on the front of it, right? And then on the back in hot pink, it said Be Excellent.
Nice.
It was, I lost it at some point. I think it was when I was on Joshua Tree, but that was one of my prized possessions, man.
And it only cost you $58.
No, it was like 16 bucks.
No. I mean, in the calls.
Oh, it was $2 a call. So it wasn't like per minute. Like it was only like,
okay.
They just, because it was a trivia question thing. Mm. But I just remember that, like that tape, when that tape came out, man, I saw it in the theaters and you were the same way, I bet. Yeah.
I was very excited by it. And the sequel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bogus Journey.
Yeah, it was a good movie. They're great.
They're fun.
Death is coming back, I heard.
Oh. You know who's not? Rufus.
Yeah. It's, what? Maybe.
Oh, that's right. Holograms.
They have the shit to do it now.
That's true. That's very true. Kareem, are you excited about this? Or is this just white people stuff?
I think it's white people stuff.
It's definitely white people stuff. This is definitely, I almost made that comment. I was like, I'm so white right now. I'm going to tell you how white I am.
Although I saw Kareem over there looking like white people.
I did watch it, watched him, but yeah, no, this is white people stuff.
I could not be more excited about it. So yeah. hopefully soon. Now on to black people stuff. YouTube has restricted the latest episode of the Candace Owens Show. This is this tweet from at PragerU. Dennis Prager is a conservative radio host in L.A.
Jewish.
He sure is. As the day is long, Jason. Two black people discussing the issues facing the black community is something young people are supposed to be protected from? Why would YouTube put this in restricted mode? Kareem, would you care to take that?
Might be because it's bullshit.
Well, and then they say you can watch the full episode on our website.
Candace Owens, oh my God.
Now the guest was Hawk Newsom, the chairman of Black Lives Matter New York. Yeah, Candace Owens is a piece of work.
She's a piece of something.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought that was interesting. YouTube has really cracked down on nonsense lately. They banned Alex Jones and InfoWars for a variety of reasons. And I don't know what the reasoning behind restricting the Candace Owens Show was, but I saw it and I'm like, huh, that's something we should talk about. I mean,
I thought it was interesting that he went on the show.
Right.
And I guess it's that whole thing about trying to be fair and give and hear the other side out or whatever. I don't know. I don't feel like I don't think I should be wasting my time with people like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a whole line of thinking. All I'm finding is a Breitbart article. So that'll be fair and balanced. I actually want to find out why this happened. But YouTube is doing, this is according to PragerU.com. YouTube continues to restrict many PragerU videos. Fight back! And they want you to sign a petition about it. But
well, they know at some point they're going to be held liable for some of this shit.
Yeah, that's one of the things that made me sort of drop off of the Adam Carolla train was a lot of Dennis Prager stuff. So I was like, okay, well, let's hear what's going on here. And I was like, yeah, this seems like it's one of those things where someone who's smart and sounds smart talks their way in a circle of bullshit.
Yeah.
But they sound smart doing it. So you go, yeah, they got a point.
So they had, I watched one thing on PragerU, and it was one on the Civil War and it was about how it was absolutely fought over slavery. and to say that it wasn't is a lie, like is a lie. Mm-hmm. So like that was the only thing I ever, and I was like, that was fine. Like I was like, okay, this is all right. But they have other bullshit. I mean, but like, it's definitely one of those things as I heard
Adam the most Carolla, famous fire in American.
Sorry.
As I started hearing Adam Carolla talk about, like, I knew, and I just listening to Dennis Prager talk, I knew that there's like, this is not a, the only reason I listened to the one about the Civil War was because it was by like a general in the military. Like it was a guy in the military saying it. So I was like, this should be fair because this guy's in the military. So he has to talk.
Well, you know? Part of it is a lot of the shit that people, that those people say are things that should be common sense things, but it's not necessarily how things happen. Mm. And so you say, you know, it's kind of like saying that America's the land of the free and the home of the brave. But then when you look at the history, like, yeah, no, that's not really what it is. So they say stuff and it's like, oh, that sounds, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. That sounds logical. But then like, well, a lot of the shit that went out wasn't logical. Racism isn't logical.
No. Yeah, so they've got a section on race relations. One of them is entitled Playing the Black Card. Another one, the top five issues facing black Americans. Are the police racist and black fathers matter? Which I'm sure is going to be exactly what your process, your project that you're working on. Parallel.
You should look this up. You should watch it and then show it as a parallel.
Let's take a quick listen just to get into it a little bit here.
Years ago, I interviewed Kwesi Nfume, then the president of the NAACP.
It's Larry Elder talking right now.
Oh, God.
As between the presence of white racism and the absence of black fathers, I asked him, which poses the bigger threat to the black community? Without missing a beat, he said, the absence of black fathers. It was President Barack Obama who said, we all know these statistics, that children who grow up without a father are 5 times more likely to live in poverty and commit crime, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, and 20 times more likely to end up in prison. The Journal of Research on Adolescence confirms that even after controlling for varying levels of household income,
so fucking pissed,
kids in father-absent homes are more likely to end up in jail.
So these are statistics.
Yeah, but what's the other side of the statistic?
Yeah,
why aren't there fathers?
Why aren't there fathers?
But
why?
Not even that. Okay, so you name out that group of statistics,
right?
So that group of kids that are fathers, but you don't talk about that. There's a whole nother section of kids that have fathers that don't end up in this situation.
Right.
So it makes it seem like that's the only situation that's going
right,
on.
Right.
So I need to shoot to be email me that link.
Absolutely.
Message me that link.
Absolutely. I will do that as we speak.
I told you. See, I knew. I was like, oh, yeah, we better listen to that. Thank you for playing.
Because part of the project is to talk about why the project needs to exist is because.
Well, this video should pretty much do that for you.
Yeah, because this is how it's explained. Like, okay, well, you give all these numbers for, like, wait a minute, but there's this whole segment that does this that you never hear anything about at all.
Yeah, like what they say, like one in how many? What was it? What was the one in five? One in three? What was? We'll grow up with that. What was the percentage?
One in five.
One in five.
That's 20%.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's like another 80% that have fathers.
Yeah. That's 20%. Yeah.
Well, I wonder what the percentage of white people that grow up without fathers is.
Probably around the same.
I guarantee you
I would guess it's somewhere in the 15 to 20% range.
Or probably higher.
Maybe. Yeah.
It'd be funny if it was higher.
While we're here, let's see what the top five issues facing black Americans are.
What are the five biggest issues facing blacks in America?
Okay, would you care to guess?
Themselves.
Kareem guesses?
It'll probably say drugs, poverty, gang violence.
Rap.
Rap.
Let's see.
Here's my list. Problem number five, the victim mentality. Nothing holds someone back.
You weren't thinking the victim mentality.
No.
More than seeing himself as a victim. Why? because the victim is not responsible for his situation.
That's something I've heard you say, Kareem.
It is, and I know. Yeah.
It's sort of like what you've said. So they go through the whole thing about victim. Let's skip ahead.
Blacks repeatedly demand an honest dialogue or debate about race. But how can there ever be an honest dialogue about race between blacks and whites when there is virtually no honest dialogue between blacks and blacks?
Yeah. By the way, this is the founder of Black Lives Matter, Tlaib Starks. So that's number four. Let's skip ahead here. Oh, yep.
So they have Black Lives Matter stuff on PragerU?
No, what they have is they have people who are part of that group who come on and do videos.
I see.
So remember the Seattle, and there were a couple of New York chapters of the Black Panthers were started by the FBI.
Yeah. So then.
Let's skip ahead to number two.
The black populace. I call them urban terrorists. And since they're literally spawned from problem number two, the black community protects them. Problem number two, proliferation of baby mamas.
That you weren't even guessing the proliferation of baby mamas. Very disappointed. Jason, you are not in touch with the problems in the black community. Kareem, what's your excuse?
The proliferation of baby mamas.
That's exactly, you heard him correctly. Let me play that again for you. In case you're wondering, problem number two, facing black Americans.
Within the black populace, I call them urban terrorists. And since they're literally spawned from problem number two, the black community protects them. Problem number two, proliferation of baby mamas.
If you missed it, literally spawned. Yeah. Literally spawned. That is dehumanizing language being used. This is the type of thing that is on PragerU. It's set up to sound smart. It's set up to sound like it's backed with facts. It's set up to sound like this. But when you really listen to it.
Go ahead and play a little bit more of that.
What's number one?
The disintegration of the nuclear family has led to an astronomical increase of single mother households. According to the Moynihan Report, in 1965, nearly 25% of black children were born to unwed mothers. The report's author, Daniel Patrick Moynihan, said this was a disaster in the making. He was, of course, vilified by so-called black leaders and their progressive allies. But he was right. Now, today,
didn't they just say that it was one in five?
Well, this was in 1965.
No. But I'm just saying.
Sure.
The previous clip just said it was one in five would be. So just because they're single mothers doesn't mean that their father's not involved.
True. It's an assumption people are jumping to. Yeah, it's something.
What's the number one? What was the number one?
Let me see if I can skip ahead and find it. Here we go.
Pathology stemmed directly from the number one problem facing the black community. Problem number one, unquestioning allegiance to so-called progressive policies.
There it is. And now we've reached the point of the video.
Boom. Oh my God.
That's problem number one facing the black community. That's it. That's it right there.
Wow.
Yep. In case you're wondering,
education, access to education was nowhere in those five.
Access to fresh food.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
He makes some good points, Kareem. And he is black.
There's always one.
It seems like there's more than one.
Oh, yeah.
There seems to be several. All right, I have not heard this. Let me see if there's actually audio with this clip. No, it's not. It's one of those where they have words and music.
Oh, man, fuck those clips. Fuck your clip!
All right, so here's the story. And this, the headline grabbed my attention. And then I read the story, and it really highlighted a problem. The headline, body discovered in backseat of family's car at Hemingford border crossing, Hemingford, Quebec. So the body of an 87-year-old man was discovered in the backseat of a vehicle driven by a Quebec family trying to cross the border at Hemingford on Sunday morning. According to reports, the man in his 60s and his elderly parents were driving back from Florida. His father is identified as Fernand Drapo. He died of a heart attack on the trip home. Paramedics said the man had been dead for at least 2 days. The family said that the high cost of American healthcare was the reason they continued their trip back home to Canada. So you got an 87-year-old man having health problems in the back of the car, and you don't want to stop because you can't afford healthcare in the States. Seems like a problem.
They could have bought like temporary health insurance.
I swear to God. So, a little personal story for you right now. So, Leslie and I went to the doctor. She's been having some hip pain. And the doctor said, all right, so first let's get an x-ray to make to see what's going on there. She goes, you may need an MRI, but an x-ray is a less expensive test. It's a couple hundred dollars. Where an MRI is a much more expensive test, it's like $10,000.
Yeah.
And she said, and Leslie goes, no, I have my insurance will probably require having an x-ray first anyway, but I have good insurance. And the doctor's response was, yeah, a lot of people think they do, and then they go for one of these tests, and it's $10,000, and it ends up being really expensive. An MRI is a diagnostic test. It doesn't cure anything.
Yeah.
So you have a doctor in a primary care setting who is now to the point where she is warning people, I don't want to send you for an MRI unless I absolutely have to because they're really expensive. And even people who think they have good insurance, it's going to cost way more than they think. There's a problem there.
Yeah.
There's an enormous problem there. Because if you're somebody who's poor, you will end up just not going because you can't afford an MRI. Or you do it and you end up $100,000 in debt because you have that. Then they find out what's going on and then you've got to get it fixed.
Yeah.
Or you've got to limp around. And there are people who think there isn't a problem with the healthcare system, in the insurance system. It's absolutely insane that a doctor who is trying to help, the first thing that they do is go, hey, by the way, she's trying to help. She's trying to say, listen, even though I'd like to send you for an MRI right away, or schedule both of them, I'm not going to do that because of this. You're not going to get that diagnostic test, which is going to delay treatment for another week or so, at least, if it's something that requires an MRI. It's insane that we live in a country where you can't even have a diagnostic test because it's too expensive.
But what if I need that to save my life?
No, too bad. Too bad. You should have had a better job. Or better health insurance. It's a problem. I'm just going to say it's a problem. People shouldn't be dying, suffering, limping around, making choices of do I get my leg fixed or do I buy groceries or do I pay rent? It's not okay. Just saying.
That's right, Jason. It's not okay.
It's not okay. Insurance, man.
Yeah, health insurance sucks.
It really does. You know what would help? You know what would solve all of this?
Damn, insurance people need to be drawn and quartered.
I wouldn't say it's insurance people; it's the healthcare industry.
But that's driven by insurance.
Well, it is, but that's a whole. I'm not licensed for that type of insurance.
It's part of a bigger problem, and
here's the thing: is that like. Insurance, by its definition, in one sense, is a profit-driven thing because they have to create money so they can pay out on losses. because generally your the money that they're taking in, they'd have to charge more in premium, right? So they have to find a way to invest and make their money back and stuff like that. The problem with healthcare health insurance, the biggest problem with that, and why it's fucked and why I hate health insurance, is that it's betting on sickness, and it's a third party like maneuver. No matter what, like, no, there's not an expert. Like, I'm an expert when it comes to your business insurance, work comp insurance, and stuff like that. Even the people that are licensed to sell health insurance have a hard time with it because it's not even designed for us.
Right.
It's designed for huge corporations to make money, and sell it and profit from it. They don't do anything but they negotiate. Basically, if we could afford, we could have a one party a single payer system. Mm-hmm. No problem. We could do that. We have the data to know how much it would cost to figure out to take care of everybody. It's really simple because the information's out there. But the insurance companies want to charge premium on it. Mm-hmm. They want that's it. I mean, like they're doing that on their end. They're negotiating those lower prices and those lower things on their end for their benefit, so they can charge you money, and so they can all, you know, I mean, like it's ridiculous. It's the way that they work is like they negotiate it on the back end.
Yeah, they get their VIG off of your ass.
No insurance. You had to be damn near dead to see the doctor. You had to be way past Robitussin. That's all we had when I was a kid, Robitussin. No matter what you got, Robitussin better handle it. Daddy, I got cancer, Robitussin. I broke my leg, Daddy poured Robitussin on it. Yeah, boy, let that tussin get to the bone, boy. Let that tussin get in there. It's gonna feel straight enough. Yeah, let the tussin get in there. If you run out of tussin, put some water in the jar, shake it up. Motussin.
That's sad.
Yeah, just jumping on my soapbox for a minute. I just don't think that needing to get medical attention should require you that you surrender the rest of your life.
Yeah. Well,
or that you have to stay in a shit job because. You know, at least they give me decent insurance.
At least I have some insurance.
And again, I've said this before. If you actually cared about entrepreneurs and you actually cared about small businesses and helping them grow, the government would remove the yoke of insurance requirements for employees.
Yeah.
If it were part of a national coverage base, businesses would not have to worry about it.
Nope.
It wouldn't factor in. If I'm sitting there going, ooh, I've got 10 employees and I need 5 more. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do 4 and I'm going to work people extra and I'm going to bust you down to part time. And I'm going to do this because I need to do this because if I have to pay for insurance, I'm not going to be able to stay in business.
Exactly. It's
so the idea that it's this socialist thing and it's anti-business is bullshit.
There, you are never going to benefit from the health insurance industry. You're not going to earn any money from them.
No.
Ever.
No.
They're never going to.
It's like the casino industry. The casino industry does well for the casino industry. You think you are having fun. You think you are enjoying yourself. I was at a casino. I was at Chumash Casino this past weekend. I was at the buffet, $25 buffet. The prime rib was delightful. The smoked brisket was amazing. The spread was unbelievable. And we actually did okay. But they did not build that large building and provide all of those $25 unlimited all-you-can-eat buffets because most people walk out of there with more money than they walked in with.
Nope.
Nope.
It happens occasionally. There's always someone with a story. Hey, that one day I went in, I walked out with more than I walked in with, but that's not most people. and you think you're, and eventually the house wins. And that is how insurance works.
They always, you know who makes money from insurance? The guy selling the insurance.
Uh-huh.
He makes 10%. And then the insurance company.
Oh yeah.
And their stockholders.
Mm-hmm.
That's who makes money from insurance.
Damn, insurance people should be drawn and quartered.
Preach!
And beat on the bottom of their feet till they're bloody.
Not insurance. We were talking about insurance corporations.
Oh, okay.
Let's talk about, like, okay. Let's talk about, because my people, like, and they're my people are okay people for the most part.
Mm. You're one of the good ones?
I'm one of the good ones.
Okay.
I promise.
Till their feet are bloody stumps.
Oh, dirty son of a.
Yeah, exactly.
If it wasn't for my people, your people, Kareem, wouldn't have a job.
No, if it wasn't for your people, my people wouldn't have been in slavery so long.
Not those people. Talking about the insurance people.
The insurance people, yes.
No, whatever.
Insurance people.
Come on now.
Hey, Milton uses slave policies in every painting. I see him all the time.
What?
Son of a bitch.
So that's not the craziest thing I've heard all week. The craziest thing I've heard all week is the InfoWars host Alex Jones has blamed a form of psychosis for his Sandy Hook truther claims. That's right. Temporary insanity. He says the psychosis made him do it. Firebrand conspiracy theorist Alex Jones pointed the finger at what he described as a form of psychosis for spreading his theory that the 2012 Sandy Hook massacre was all staged. The InfoWars host made the claim in a deposition as part of a lawsuit filed against him by the family of one of the 20 children who were killed in the shooting that left 27 people dead. The deposition was posted online by a Texas law firm that is representing some of the Sandy Hook families. Huffington Post has posted a transcript of the deposition. Now, during that deposition, Jones, who had previously suggested the shooting was a hoax, acknowledged it was real, but fell short of taking responsibility for amplifying claims that the parents of dead children were lying, saying, and I quote, "I myself have almost had like a form of psychosis back in the past where I basically thought everything was staged. And even though now I'm learning, a lot of times things aren't staged. So I think as a pundit, someone giving an opinion that, you know, my opinions have been wrong, but they were never wrong consciously to hurt people."
Get the fuck out of here.
I have to cough every time I do the impression of Alex Jones.
The moment that you started going after dead kids' parent. Dead,
right?
Like, sorry, buddy.
If you're wondering what Alex Jones sounds like in a deposition, here you go. He's going to drink some water here and, just to get ready. It's a 2-hour clip, and we're not playing it here.
2019, the time is approximately.
Because things from Operation Northwoods and hundreds of declassified real staged events where our government admits that it staged events that I always boilerplate, say that we need to investigate the news reportage of this and see what's true, because such a long history of governments and corporations and legal groups engaging in fraud. And
wow, he sounds like Kareem there. Talking about all the groups that were started by the FBI. I don't know, Kareem. Are you secretly Alex Jones?
COINTELPRO is real, though.
Was. Look, but Alex wasn't on the side of the people that were against that was done to.
Oh, I see. That's the difference. Okay. Anyway, so that's happening. It does my heart good to know that Alex Jones is being sued. Got a follow-up for you. An Indiana man who accidentally shot himself in the penis and scrotum has been charged with carrying a handgun without a license, according to court records. Yeah, sorry. Mark Anthony Jones is facing a Class A misdemeanor weapons charge in connection with the February incident in Marion. A decision to charge him was made by the Grant County Prosecutor's Office after police forwarded the case for review. Jones is the subject of an active arrest warrant as well. According to police, he suffered an accidental self-inflicted gunshot injury while walking on a Marion street around 6:45 a.m. And during the hospital interview, he told cops that he had an unholstered high .9 millimeter handgun tucked in the waistband when his weapon began to slip.
Plaxico burst.
Yeah. Sweatpants and handguns do not mix well for your penis.
There's nothing to hold anything up.
Nope. Nope. Not at all. Not at all.
I'm sure he'll be enjoying all the fun and games.
Get yourself a thong holster.
Now he gets to sit in the hospital. He'll be safer because he'll be in the hospital part of the jail.
I think they have everything he wants.
That was in his head as he was walking down the street. Meanwhile, police have arrested a priest in Hudson Valley, New York, for possessing meth. Possessing. A New York priest was arrested in the Hudson Valley for allegedly possessing meth with the intent to sell. That's right. Early on a Sunday morning, Westchester County police arrested two men after they were allegedly found in possession of methamphetamine in Peekskill, which you will remember is the home of the Facts of Life, Peekskill, New York.
Oh, how about that?
Mm-hmm. Officers were traveling on John Walsh Boulevard shortly before 1 a.m. when they noticed a suspicious vehicle parked in the vicinity of Charles Point Park. Two men were found inside the vehicle, and after further investigation, officers recovered half an ounce of methamphetamine, two scales, and other materials used for packaging narcotics. Why are you doing that in your car? Michael O'Leary of the Bronx and Alberto Calderon of Brooklyn were both charged with criminal possession of a controlled substance with intent to sell and two counts of criminal use of drug paraphernalia. O'Leary was charged with criminal possession of a controlled substance, also a felony. The New York Archdiocese confirmed the 50-year-old is a priest, but is currently not assigned to a parish. Oh, so he had free time.
He had some time on his hands.
So, idle hands, right?
So question. Here's a weird hypothetical. Would you rather your priest be touching kids or selling meth? And you have to choose one. Go.
Selling meth, 100%.
Correct. Selling meth.
Okay, good. So lesser of two evils in this case. I mean, if those are your only two choices.
Those are your only two choices. I mean, at least Jesus preached to people that weren't smoking meth, possibly.
Wow, it would be really weird, though, if they could make meth in biblical times. Biblical meth.
Oh, yeah. They did, though.
Of course. Meanwhile, oddest headline I read, vehicle seat found covered in blood and teeth was involved in... Now they figured it out. Sorry, they've updated the story on me.
This is just, like, not a good story.
It's not a good story now. It was a suicide. They just found this car seat that had blood and teeth on it. That's what happens when you don't do a show for 2 weeks. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Meanwhile, in Las Vegas, a Metropolitan Police officer used police equipment to conduct record searches while on duty for friends and family, according to an arrest report. Don't most cops do that, though? Yeah. Everybody I know I have a friend who's a cop. They do that. Police arrested Las Vegas Metro Police Department Patrol Officer Rachel Sorkow for five counts of felony misconduct, along with capturing the image of a private area of another person and indecent exposure. The long list of crimes police said she committed while working for the department includes looking up addresses, arrest records, and license plate information on potential boyfriends or girlfriends of friends and family. Police said she even recorded seven videos of four people who were in her control as a police officer. One video was a man with a tear in his pants. In the video, he kicked a police car, which exposed his genitals. Sorkow used the squad car PA to tell the man to continue kicking the car while she recorded the video and distributed it to her friends. Now, according to the report, Sorkow responded to a call of a mentally ill man wearing two dresses with his hair in pigtails. In the video she recorded with her cell phone, she told him, "I just want to see you Dougie and twerk, and then we're good." He starts dancing, and she tells him, "Yeah, get it again one more time." In other videos, she's seen feeding gummy bears to a handcuffed person while she made plane noises if she were feeding a child, and she was also seen talking to an overweight woman, asking if she'd consider being on My 300-Pound Life. That's not the show. It's My 600-Pound Life. How dare you?
She's spitballing a new episode, like a new idea.
By the way, have you seen My 600-Pound Life?
Yeah, Chris watches it sometimes.
Okay, we watch it. I have an impression for you of Dr. Nazarden as he comes into the room. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
How y'all doing?
Pretty spot on.
I want to get a puppet, because really the only way to do the impression is to not move your mouth.
Yeah.
How y'all doing? I'm doing pretty good. I see you're up to 733 pounds.
Have you not been eating the food that you're supposed to eat?
Do you get your own food? Oh, you don't? So you're the enabler?
So you're the mom. Okay.
You're the enabler?
You need to stop it. If you can't stop it for at least a month, then you don't get to, we're not going to proceed with the surgery, because we'll follow back into the habits. It's a habit.
How y'all doing?
That's literally every episode, though.
Yeah. Yeah. The episode from last week, unfortunately, spoiler alert, if you want to watch it, it's one of the two that we've seen where the patient ends up dying before the end of the episode. Uh-oh. And it was really unfortunate because she actually was following through.
Oh, man.
She had the surgery. She was losing the weight. She was doing the work. And she had had heart failure from the very beginning of the show and never recovered.
Like, you watch this show and you see what's happening in these people's lives and you're like, dude, that's codependency and alcohol. Like, that's like, as an alcoholic, I can relate. Like, I don't like watching it. Because it's like, to me, watching people that are like in abusive, addictive relationships.
What's really interesting is there's occasionally some people who are like, yeah, my dad said some mean things to me. That was it.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? And then there's other people with these horrific stories about being molested from the time they were five, and then they were beaten up, and then they were raped as a teenager, and you know, it's horror story after horror story after horror story. And then somebody else goes, you know, my parents were really tough on me because they said I was heavy and that made me sad, so I just wanted to eat.
Yeah.
I find it hard to feel anything for that person.
But I mean, the thing is that that's why I'm saying, like, there's like an addiction switch that's like, there is comparable to, because like, that's just like the frat boy that's addicted to cocaine and has a, you know, and has to go to like, you don't feel sorry for that guy, but he's still suffering through the same sickness. You know what I mean? It's just it's shitty, man. It sucks because I can't watch the show. When Chris Watt is watching it, like, I'm like, okay, we have to watch something else. Like, I'd rather watch the Property Brothers that I've seen.
Who wouldn't?
25 times.
The instead. Property Brothers. Oh my goodness.
Or what's the Fixer Upper? Or Windy City Rehab.
I'd rather watch Dr. Pimple Popper.
Oh, I love Dr. Pimple Popper.
Fuck those shows, man. You guys are weird. You guys are gross.
Oh, Dr. Pimple
Popper helps people.
Exactly. Man,
no.
And matter of fact, the fact that you get to see what's really going on with those people, it keeps you from looking at them and judging them.
Exactly. And it keeps you from going, that looks kind of gross, but you know, I don't want to go and deal with it.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to let it grow.
Or people that have things that they've had going on forever and they get to reclaim them, their life, or get some self-confidence.
That's great. And I'm really happy for them.
It's inspirational.
I don't want to watch it. Yes. I'm not down.
You're not a popaholic?
Not a popaholic.
The only aholic Jason isn't.
Not. Yeah. Everything else, man.
Chocoholic.
Down. Yes.
Sometimes.
Dr. Pimple Popper is the woman.
She's fantastic. Leslie and I will start watching My 600-Pound Life. And what we do is, so they'll introduce themselves and then they sort of give a little bit of background. They talk about their day, usually get to see them naked taking a shower, because why wouldn't you? And then we pause it and go, okay, what's the story? And then we try to guess, molested, raped, beaten up. What was it? Parents not around. And we are better than 50-50 at picking it out.
Wow, so
based upon the first few minutes.
You guys are like real, like Columbos of determining people's horrific.
Columbos of sadness.
Horrific childhoods.
Yeah. And every now and then you go, someone said something mean to them once.
So like you guys, we discussing it, and then all of a sudden you'll be like, Just one more thing I was thinking.
We literally pause it and go through and go, okay, let's see what it is. And then we see how we do.
Yeah.
And we're always rooting for them.
I was trying to do the Columbo like thing, like where he always like is leaving the room and you think that he's not going to catch the
one
bad
more,
guy.
One more thing.
Oh, one more thing.
That does happen occasionally. As we're just ready to hit play. It's like, hold on. I got one more thing to add. Just one more thing to add. Bullied in high school.
And then you're like, bam, you did it. You found it out.
You know, you find ways to make it interesting no matter what. That's what it's all about.
It is.
It really, really is. All right, let's do this.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Oh, Pasco County had a modern Stone Age moment back in November when a barefoot driver, Fred Flintstone, got stopped for speeding. According to the Pasco County Sheriff's Office Facebook page, a Wesley Chapel man, Don Schwartz, was pulled over for speeding inside a residential complex. He was dressed as Fred Flintstone and his car transformed into the cartoon's footmobile.
What?
There is a photo. It's a smart car that they have decorated.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and he's dressed as Fred Flintstone. Now, it was November 4th, so maybe it was a late Halloween party. I don't know. But it is definitely Florida. Also in Florida, a drunk Florida man allegedly shoved his girlfriend outside her residence because he wanted to come in and eat egg rolls.
Happens all the time, bro.
Cops charged that Keith Johnson showed up at the victim's home around 8 p.m. on a Monday and began ringing the doorbell. The 60-year-old woman told cops that Johnson was intoxicated and that she did not want him to come in the house. By the way, he's 44. She's 60.
Hey, it's only 16 years.
The victim, who has dated Johnson on and off for more than 4 years, said that he wanted to eat egg rolls that were in the house, and when the woman stepped outside her home to say that she would bring the egg rolls out to him, he allegedly shoved her into the front door. When questioned by police, Johnson said he wanted the victim to heat up the egg rolls. Of course. Asked if he pushed the woman when she refused him entry into her residence, he reportedly replied, "I admit I pushed her." Then they arrested him for battery. So honesty, not necessarily the best policy in this case.
Yeah, officer, I pushed her.
Yep.
Wanted some of those delectable egg rolls.
A witness who dialed 911 when she heard Johnson and the victim arguing told cops Johnson was mad because she wouldn't let him in the house and he was yelling about egg rolls. He lives in Pensacola and works as an electrician. Oh, good. He's being held in the jail in lieu of $500 bond. Hold on. He's an electrician. He can't afford $500 bond.
He's not a good electrician.
He is not a good electrician.
Florida pays shit.
Still, $500?
Electricians are pretty, can make pretty good money.
Oh, and I've gone down a rabbit hole. Please excuse me. As I go to the Florida of the North, a couple was arrested after they had sex in front of children while riding inside a gondola on the 150-foot observation wheel in downtown Cincinnati.
That's when you need to be the three-pump chump.
Police allege Lauren Wilder and Michael Matheson engaged in an illicit tryst while on the SkyStar wheel, which is adjacent to the Ohio River, and the Great American Ballpark, where the Reds were playing some opening day baseball. According to the criminal complaints filed in municipal court, Wilder and Matheson were both intoxicated when they engaged in sexual intercourse in the open in front of children and adults. They were each charged with disorderly conduct and booked into the Hamilton County Jail on the misdemeanor counts. They are both scheduled for a court appearance. Wilder lives in North College Hill, a Cincinnati suburb, and Matheson resides in Florence, Kentucky, probably just across the river. According to the SkyStar website, the wheel contains 36 climate-controlled gondolas that can accommodate up to 6 passengers. Tickets cost $12.50 for the nearly 12-minute ride, which provides riders with spectacular views as they soar nearly 15 stories over Cincinnati's Riverfront Park. Good golly, Miss Molly.
Man, you gotta know how to time it when you're on something like that. You know what I mean? Like,
everyone's got to listen to.
Sorry.
If it's 12 minutes, you know what I mean? If it's a 12 minute ride.
Well, they're going to get you on the back end either way. it's not like you're going to get away with it if you do it in under two.
No. When you're at the apex of the ride, nobody else can see you
unless they're in the car with you.
Well, I mean, like, you want to make sure you have one to yourselves. Like, I'm sure that they had it to themselves. They just went past. Like, I guarantee you, they had it to themselves. Like, but they went for the whole course when they just should have had a snack. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't have time for the whole course right then. You had time for a quick snack.
Sure.
And then they could have, you know, gone on to somewhere else afterwards.
I see.
They should have just, that should have been the beginning of, you know what I mean? I don't know. Like, that's, you should know better. You should, like, you know, you're not going to be able to just.
Well, that last part is right.
What's that?
You should know better.
I mean, it's cool to try to attempt it, but you really only have like a 1 to 2 minute slot when you're at the very top. So you can stick it in. You can say you did it.
Hold on. I have to make that the show title.
Stick it in and say you did it.
You can stick it in. There we go. You can stick it in. All right. Show title done. Thank you. Oh boy.
If you're trying to accomplish something, mm-hmm. like, you know, you can then say you had sex in it, right? If you stuck it in, it's considered sex. So. That's also like anytime you're going to be doing something where other people might be able to catch wind of it, you should probably just go for an appetizer. unless you're crazy and you want to possibly get caught. I mean, there's always that too. I mean,
well, isn't that the thrill of it?
Sometimes, but you have to know, like, you know, There's places and times, you know, where, like, okay, this is good. We have 5-10 minutes over here. We'll be fine. But if you only had 2 or 3 minutes, you know what I mean? Like, you need to know. You know what I mean? I don't know. They're drunk, so it doesn't matter. They're drunk. They obviously were not, you know, sober. Like you said, I would have been sober, and I would have been able to accomplish the task at hand.
Well, you have fathered 2 children.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Here's the other question. Are mm-hmm. you a big enthusiast of the public sexual act?
No.
Kareem, I'm coming to you next.
No, I'm not. But at the same time, that's not to say that if the opportunity arose,
hey now,
that I wouldn't seize it.
Seize him.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not that I'm seeking out and like that's my kink, but I'm not going to shy away from it either necessarily.
Sure. Sure.
And I might be very, like, I'm definitely a lot different in my mind about that now that I'm sober than maybe I would have been 6 years ago.
Fair point. Fair point. So let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say we get... Let's say we get about a year out from now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe the kids are at a babysitter's.
Okay.
And you and Chris are out doing whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say you go to the bird watching place. It's like a wildlife sanctuary. There's no one there yet.
No one there. Okay.
No one there yet. And she reaches over and says, hey, let's do it.
If there's nobody there.
Well, there's nobody there at that moment. That doesn't mean no one will show up.
Yeah. I might be down. Maybe down.
That, well, I need a definitive answer.
Yeah, I'd do it.
Okay.
But I'd be in a position to where I could see the people coming.
Well, one of you should be. Kareem, how about you?
Yes.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. You just got to make sure you...
You got to make sure you got the towel under the door, by the 3-inch gap under the door.
Yeah.
That way they can't see you anymore.
So if you're going to plan it out, make sure that you plan it out make sure logistically you plan out what you want to do.
Yeah.
So you have her wear a skirt.
Fair point.
That way you can do a lot of things without having to worry about
yoga too pants much. Also.
Yeah.
Yoga pants also.
Yeah, but if she got a skirt on, you got to worry about pulling nothing up or down.
Oh, you got it. I'm not worried about it. You plan with the loose shorts.
So let me just be clear about this. Kareem is bird watching with Jason's wife. She reaches over and Kareem says,
"Let's do it."
Hike up that skirt, girl.
Now, unfortunately, he's poor, played a horrible trick on you, man. And she would never wear a skirt.
She wouldn't wear a skirt for you.
Wow, you want to make sure you get a mic in that car so you catch this moment.
Let's do it.
I wish y'all could see Jason's face right now.
He's gonna weep again.
Well, I'm planning my revenge.
We love you, Jason.
Hey, Alex, what's going on April 20th?
What's going on? Jason, what's going on 420? You know what's going on 420.
Let's do it.
Yeah, obviously, Alex forgot that he promised to do something with this guy.
Hey, and you don't even have to worry about this one being beige because I wore a condom.
Let's do it.
Well, now I know you're lying.
We kid because it's ridiculous. All right.
Exactly.
Oh, that was nice. All right, let's wrap this thing up.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
All righty. We leaned heavily on Marilyn Haggerty this week for small town news because she can handle it. Headline, winter weary, but looking ahead to spring. That's one of her letter articles.
Oh, God damn it!
Dear Dave McFarlane, the calendar on the wall says Wednesday will be the first day of spring. I hope someone will remind Mother Nature. She should put an end to winter. We've had enough already. Of course, we all worry about the possibility of another flood, but the Sunday Herald had a story quoting Greg Gust of the Weather Bureau. He said at this point, we don't have the worst case scenario.
They have a worst case scenario.
But not the worst case scenario. Yeah, so probably fine. Oh, yes. Down your way, the winter visitors in Florida are at least thinking of heading back north. Same thing in Arizona. I had a note from Bob Wood, who said more than 220 Grand Forks area folks in Arizona gathered for breakfast at the Golden Corral in Mesa. Sweet Jesus.
Jesus Christ, that's a lot of people at one Golden Corral.
A lot of old people. He said conversations this year began with the question, how long can you stay? Usually the snowbirds ask one another, when are you going home? Life goes on. People who do lawn care around here are already sending out notices. You hear of people making their way over to their summer places in Lake County. There's a glow over the little town of Thompson, just south of Grand Forks. The boys' basketball team won the state B basketball championship in Minot, and the Thompson Tommies prevailed in games that took them into overtime play. It was really exciting.
God damn it, Marilyn.
Jason, it was really exciting.
Let's do it.
Most of the 14 fourth grade students at Holy Family St. Mary's Grade School told me last week they like winter. Only four of them turned thumbs down. Carol Knudsen likes the babysitter's club that meets in the school library. Ryder Rivard told me his grandparents have a condo down in Fort Myers. That probably is in your area. Well, anyway, it was refreshing to visit with 9 and 10-year-old children. The class also includes Jason Blacknick, Kaya Boppery, Zachary Burris, Taylor Herman, Leah Johnson, Reese Litzinger, Mercil Hayden, Haley Risky, Mason Sherman, William Sickler, Miles Tanaby, and Rylan Waldorf.
Oh, God damn it, Marilyn.
It's good to get a view of life from the kids. Their teacher is Trish Moore, and theirs is a world of good books. Sledding at Lincoln Park, damn, and eating tacos, pizza, or popcorn chicken.
Son of a... God damn it, Marilyn.
Hey, thank you for your great description of Florida in March and April. You can leave your windows open at night to bring in the fresh breeze. Our windows are frozen shut. I guess you're planning your end-of-the-season golf tournaments in April, and the Twins are into spring training, spring practice at Fort Myers. I'm sure the announcer likes telling the temperature up north. You who live year-round in Florida call your April your R&R. That's when you get your roads and restaurants back. You say you still miss the Sacred Heart Friday fish fries during Lent. Yes, they're still going strong. And so in Florida, are you and Kathy. Your weary winter friend Marilyn, on the west bank of the frozen Red River in the north.
God damn it, Marilyn. Just buy a fucking envelope and a stamp and send your goddamn letters to fucking Kathy and your friend in Florida. God damn it. And the whole class doesn't need a shout out, all right? I didn't realize you were doing a request line. Like,
there's only 14 of them.
Oh my gosh, man. Like, you listen to every kid in the class.
Yeah. Who are you going to leave out? Ryland?
All of them.
What did Ryland do to be left out?
No, she could have said that she went to Miss Trish's classroom.
Well, what's the fun in that? There's nothing better than getting your name in the paper, Jason. Imagine the thrill on those kids.
Oh, I'm sure those kids are out buying up a copy right now.
They're thrilled.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
Look, you didn't grow up in a small town.
No, I kind of did.
No.
Not that small.
No.
I grew up in a suburb, you're right.
You got a suburb. You didn't grow up a small town at all.
You go home and ask your wife how she would have felt as a fourth grader if she would have seen her name in the paper.
But you know what her answer to that will be?
At 9 months pregnant, she'll do a fucking cartwheel.
No, you know what she's going to say about that? She'll be like, my name was in the paper. Yeah, she was playing soccer already back then, I'm sure.
There you go. It's exciting for the kids.
Yeah, I know. It was exciting when they talked about my triple that I got when I was in fourth grade. I get it. But at the same time, come on, Marilyn. Like, you're writing letters to your friends. You're forcing your friends to subscribe to your newspaper in order for them to
No subscription required. No subscription required. And don't start now. Don't start now. I fucking love this. This is how small town news happens. I'm just saying. I only get so many looks at the Press Republican every month.
Oh, really?
Before I hit their paywall. I am not paying for Speak Out.
I see. Okay.
It's not happening. I'll drop small town news before I pay for Speak Out.
True that.
You know why?
Nate, you're 100% right.
Exactly.
You're always right.
You know how right I am?
Nate, you're 100% right.
100% right. I don't need to hear the wild thing again.
You know, 60% of the time, you're right every single time.
Nate, you're 100% right.
That's 100%. Bald Brian from the Adam Carolla Show says...
Nate, you're 100% right.
Exactly.
But you were, once again, you were the host of the show, and he was the guy talking on your side,
Nate,
right?
You're 100% right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what he does. He just is doing what he does.
It was part of a question.
Uh-huh. You're just supporting the host.
Nate, you're 100% right.
It's true. I even remember what the question was. So, and that's the greatest. If you're ever a guest on a show, that's how you answer the question of the host.
Nate, you're 100% right.
Yeah, exactly. 100% right.
You know what, Nate? You're 100% right.
Dragons!
Oh, man.
Yeah.
We're using like 15-year-old. Did that just get its 10-year anniversary?
Leroy Jenkins? I don't know. Based on the sound quality, it could be 30.
Yeah. It's back when they had World of Warcraft back in 18.
I mean, yeah, it's not anything, you know, super new. So I wouldn't get too excited.
Fucking Leroy Jenkins!
All right, that's going to do it for us in this episode of The Nate Darling Show. You have yourself a great little weekend. If you haven't been, please check out the Morning Crunch Wrap podcast. It is also available on natedarlingshow.com. You can get it on Spotify. You can also get this show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the PlayaPod app.
Everyone.
Yeah, go ahead and look them up.
Podcast Addict.
By the way, the Morning Crunch Wrap, Monday through Friday, it's a 5 to 10 minute podcast about whatever news story catches my eye. The one that got bumped on Monday for the whole national security story, somehow Jim Carrey ended up in a bit of a Twitter feud with Benito Mussolini's granddaughter.
Wow, what
saw that.
That's so ridiculous.
We don't have time to get into that here because we've reached the end of this week's show, but... It's just the oddest thing that Fire Marshal Bill would get into a spat online with Mussolini's granddaughter. She called him a bastard.
I mean, you can't. There's nothing you can say when your father, your grandfather was Mussolini. Like, you just got to take that shit forever.
No, she didn't.
Well.
She was clapping back.
I saw how she clapped back, and she's an idiot.
But she tweeted a gif of an atomic explosion.
Yeah, are you going to comment on this? And then one of a police like brutality. Are you going to comment on this? And civil rights. You can comment on this. Like she's a bunch of stuff that no, that's not what he. And he kind of does.
Well, yeah, and he's also Canadian, so he didn't drop a bomb.
Yeah, he didn't. The only bomb that he dropped was...
The drawing of her grandfather hanging by his heels in the town square with his mistress? Oh, that was a recreation of an actual event.
It actually happened.
Yeah.
Don't forget. Yeah. Never forget.
Fascist.
Never forget. That's what happens to fascists.
Yeah, he's like, hey, you know who's cool? That Hitler guy.
Not a cool guy. It's not who you should have aligned yourself with,
that's
buddy.
Your grandpa. Hey, you know who's cool? That Hitler guy. I should do stuff with him. Yeah. We should collab.
We should do like a boy band.
Yeah, if they were on social media and around today, Mussolini would be like, hey, Hitler, you seem cool. Let's collab.
Hey, you want to put an album together? Let you be on my diss track.
Yeah, let's go shoot some photos. I hear you're an artist. Let's draw.
What's your gram? What's your gram?
I think we've reached a new low. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Nate, you're 100% right.
Leroy Jenkins!